Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. You can also send in your questions via Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. It's Big Blue Kickoff Live presented by Andrew Mark right here on Giants.com and on your Giants mobile app, which you, of course, get on your mobile device, iTunes, Play Store, you name it. Go check it out. Listen to Lance Meadow on the go, who's back for a second consecutive day. We're honored.
And I'm excited
not
to
really.
Be back.
That's
well,
okay.
I know you are not, but never. Hopefully the fans are.
Well, high opinion of himself. I guess we already knew that, though. Lance, how's it been going?
Everything's going well. And I'm excited to see that we now have a sponsor for this show.
We didn't
have a chance to talk about that yesterday.
No, I know. We do have a sponsor. It's very exciting. The moment you stopped hosting the program, the sponsor jumped on immediately. But now you're back, and they've stuck around, so I guess that's good.
Well, maybe there's a trial period, though. We're hoping they'll renew and hang around for the duration of the season.
Yes, we do, and Andrew Mark, of course, is our great sponsor. They will be here throughout the rest of the season. A Big Blue Kickoff Live will be with you every weekday morning from 9:30 to 10:30. Now, early in the season, we might have some weird days and times going on with the weeknight games on Wednesday, and we're in Carolina on that Thursday, so that might switch around a little bit. Once you get into the schedule, we'll figure that out as we move forward here. But, Lance, some stuff to talk about. Obviously, yesterday there was some injury news the Giants had regarding Jason Pierre-Paul. He will not play on Friday night against the Bears because of back spasms. Coach Coughlin doesn't seem to be too concerned. He indicated if it was a regular season game, he would have practiced, he would have played. But the medical staff says better safe than sorry. Let's keep him off his feet if his back's bothering him and make sure he's healthy for the regular season, which I don't think anyone can argue is a smart move.
It's a precautionary move, like you just alluded to, and, you know, Tom Coughlin didn't seem alarmed. They're not concerned. They just want to contain it now so that it doesn't linger when they have to go up against the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, Giants fans know we don't need to repeat it. JPP is an integral part of that defensive line. Last year, remember, it was rare that Justin Tuck, OCU Mignora, and JPP were on the field at the same time. They'd like to have that from week to week this year, and I think that if they rest him for these next two preseason games, that will give him an opportunity to get back to full form.
And I'll tell you what, think of it this way. When's the last time through an entire training camp in preseason that OC, Tuck, and until yesterday, JPP, were practicing every day? Not one of those three guys missed a day of practice up at Albany. And that could be huge this year if those three guys can be healthy and 100% throughout the entire season.
And for Perry Fuel, it's great because he can insert different packages and see what the results will be like throughout training camp. You know, sometimes you like to experiment during the course of the week to see what you're going to get on Sundays. And if the guys don't practice during the course of the week, it's very hard to put those plays and have them executed to the level of play that you expect out of that nucleus. So I think it's a huge plus that they have had basically everyone, for the most part, throughout the course of this defensive unit on the field during training camp. And that's going to pay dividends come the regular season, because when these guys mesh well with one another, it helps chemistry, and that can only show when they get into the regular season.
And I think it'll be interesting because we're going to see, I think, a lot of JPP and even some of Justin Tuck at tackle on the defensive side of the ball when they bring out those pass rush packages. You'll see OC and Kiwi on the outside a lot of the time, and you'll see Tuck and Pierre-Paul inside, and we'll see how effective Jason Pierre-Paul can be. Now, look, Pierre-Paul is going to get his snaps in right in. We know that's going to happen. But he is going to play a little bit more tackle now in those pass rush packages.
And he should. You know, you got to get creative. Remember, JPP's not a rookie anymore.
Right.
The teams in the division have film on him. They've studied up on him. They're going to move their offensive line around to contain him. Therefore, the Giants need to counter with something.
But don't they have to do that with OC, too? Don't they have to do that with Justin Tuck? I mean, all these guys can get to the passer and win their one-on-one matchups, and I don't know how defense is going to figure it out. You better have a couple of good tackles out there. You better have a couple of good guards. Otherwise, you're going to get eaten alive by this defensive line.
And that's shown in the preseason already, John. That's why guys like Dwayne Hendricks, for example, have opportunities for sacks. Linval Joseph, because
Adewale Ajomo with his two sacks last week.
Everybody's joining the party at this point. Adrian Tracy, when he's been healthy, and the reason that is showing is because, like you said, the tackles are so caught up in containing OC and JPP and Justin Tuck, all of a sudden you got two defensive tackles coming right up the gut. Somebody's got to block them, and that somebody hasn't been around, and as a result, the Giants have had numerous sacks during the preseason.
Let's go to our phones at 201-939-4513. Jay, you're on the line. What's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks,
good
Jay.
Morning.
What you got?
Hey, the million-dollar question, what do you guys think happens with Ramses Barden? I mean, the guy has all the talent in the world. and you hear about all these highlight catches in practice, but gets on the field and nothing.
Yeah, and that's a great question. I think this is really a make-or-break game for Ramses Barden coming up against the Bears tomorrow night, because the starters are pretty much going to play throughout the course of the first half, and you know that third receiver job is still up for grabs. I think Dominic Hixon is the favorite, but Barden has an opportunity, and like you said, it's a matter of him taking his level of play in practice and translating that to game action, and we haven't necessarily seen that consistently. We've seen some flashes.
Very brief flashes.
Yeah, and that's what they need. They need Eli Manning and him to be on the same page for not just a quarter, for not just a drive, but for four quarters. And, you know, time is running out on Ramses Barden. You got Jernigan, who's certainly fighting for extra playing time. He's expected to be a key contributor on special teams. If Barden doesn't do it in the receiving game, where else is he going to start chipping in?
He's not. He's got to catch passes. Where Barden's going to be a factor on this team is on offense, and he has to have the opportunities to do it. He has to stay healthy, which you mentioned, and he's got to perform. And this goes back to a tweet that was sent in yesterday by one of our fans, the hashtag Giants Chat. We asked Giant fans out there who needs to step up to make this talented roster, and he threw out Darrell Scott and Ramses Barden. A lot of people are throwing out those two names. Scott's a guy who's missed some time earlier in the camp with some injuries. Andre Brown, David Wilson, DJ Ware have taken advantage of those extra snaps. They've played well. And I think Darrell Scott has to have a big-time game here, too, if he wants to find a way onto the final roster.
Yeah, Scott's big issue last season was pass protection, and the fact that he hasn't been healthy hasn't helped his cause. Because remember, you got David Wilson in the mix now. Andre Brown is healthy. There's more competition. Darrell Scott didn't have to deal with all those guys last season.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, in the depth chart, there's a lot of guys fighting for probably maybe three spots.
And talented guys.
It's not going to be a walk in the park for Darrell Scott, so he's got to start making plays. And the only way he could do that is he stays healthy and is able to sustain that from quarter to quarter. The one thing I think that's at least working somewhat for Darrell Scott, and Tom Coughlin has alluded to this in his press conferences over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of pluses and minuses for the running game. There hasn't really been any consistent level. David Wilson has had some bright spots. He's had probably the most biggest runs for the squad. Then DJ Ware's had his ups and downs. Wilson has had his ups and downs, even though he has had some big runs. And Bradshaw, they're not worried about because he's not really competing for anything. So if Scott could put together a drive or two that he's in where he's protecting Eli Manning, he's finding his holes, he's getting big chunks of yardage, that will start to stand out to the coaches, and perhaps they'll have a tougher decision when they have to weave this roster down to 53.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or you could send in your questions to Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. And the question we asked on Twitter today, Lance, was what does the Giants secondary have to do against the Bears to be successful on Friday? It's really their first really tough true test here. In the preseason, you're going to be tested by a good wide receiver in Brandon Marshall. The Bears have some depth behind him as well. Jay Cutler, a very good NFL quarterback. And I think it'll be interesting to see how this defense, especially Prince Amukamara and the guys behind him, hold up against a legitimate passing offense for three quarters.
Yeah, Marshall's looked really good since he's reunited with Jay Cutler. Yeah. They played together with the Broncos, and that's translating back here in Chicago. They also have Earl Bennett, their draft pick as well, Alshon Jeffrey. So there's a lot of weapons in that receiving core for Chicago, and you figure there's going to be a pass-heavy attack this season, assuming they could protect Jay Cutler. That's been the Achilles heel for the Bears the last few seasons. No one has given Jay Cutler an opportunity to pass the football.
Well, that's mostly because of Mike Martz's offensive system, which puts a priority on spreading the field and not max protecting. With Martz no longer there, and I just responded the same way to somebody that sent in a tweet to us, if he gets time and they switch up their system, Cutler could be much better this year.
And they have, because Mike Tice, who was the offensive line coach, is now the offensive coordinator. And, you know, he's been tweaking the offensive line to give Jay Cutler more of an opportunity to get the ball down the field, especially when you have a guy like Brandon Marshall who can win plenty of one-on-one battles. But from the Giants' perspective, you're now going to see a healthy receiving core, because remember, the Jets were banged up, Santonio Holmes didn't play, and the Jaguars, let's be honest, don't have nearly a talented group of receivers as the Bears are going to present.
I'll tell you, Gabbert's been playing well this preseason.
No, he has. And listen, without Maurice Jones-Drew, right now in camp, Jacksonville needs to go pass happy at this point because they need to develop some of those young receivers. I mean, outside of LaRon Robinson, it pretty much is a bunch of no-name guys who are at least trying to prove themselves. The Bears, with Matt Forte and this receiving core, you know, it's a balanced attack. It's not necessarily one-dimensional. So the Giants' secondary needs to be up to the task, and even the Giants' defensive line, because you know what? Even though the Bears have improved with their offensive line, John, if I'm Perry Fueling Company, I'm testing them early. Let's see what these four guys can do. Can they still break apart the Bears' offensive line and get to Jay Cutler? Just because they've tweaked things in practice doesn't mean that it's going to be effective come game time. So if I'm Perry Fueling Company, I certainly want to send the Wolves and send the attack out at Cutler and see what he's got so far.
Yeah, I think you have to. And in terms of the Giants' secondary, it's going to be a good evaluation opportunity, I think, for the Giants' coaching staff and the front office. Look, unless something catastrophic happens, you figure Prince is going to be that second cornerback. So you want to see him cement himself in that role. But with Jerron Hosley out, you always have the backup plan of putting Roll back in that slot corner spot. You can do that. That's fine. But I think the Giants would prefer to keep him at safety. So you're going to see guys like Will Hill, guys like Dante Hughes, and other of those backup DBs, Justin Tryon to the world, Molden. Those guys can maybe play that slot spot a little bit, and the Giants can try to find somebody else to play that role. And frankly, to see which one of these corners is still a bit of a mess are going to make this team.
Speaking of corners, Michael Coe hasn't been healthy.
Hamstring.
But I wonder, if Coe gets back to full force, could they experiment with, in addition to him backing up Corey Webster, could they maybe move him over opposite Webster, given his experience over Prince Amukamara?
They could, but I think they believe Prince is the more talented player. He has more natural ability. He's a first-round pick from a year ago. They're going to want Prince to win that job. But in the end, you're right. If somebody outplays Prince, he'll get on the field ahead of him. You know, if Prince is letting guys run past him for touchdowns, he's not going to be on the field much longer. Fans aren't going to care, and neither will the front office where he was drafted. If he's not performing, you got to get somebody else in there. But I don't think that's going to happen.
And Molden is another guy who has plenty of experience coming over from the Patriots. But, you know, in terms of how the depth chart is playing out, they really have Cohen Molden backing up Corey Webster and Amukamara trying to hold his own opposite. And you're right. You know, Amukamara, the expectations are there. He's healthy. He's been at practice. He's gotten through training camp. I don't want to compare him to Ramsey's Barden because he hasn't been here as long, but, you know, it's a make-or-break game again. You know, prove to the coaching staff.
Well, let's not say make-or-break. If he plays poorly, he's not done.
But it's an opportunity for him to cement a role. I think that's a fair way to have the conversation about Prince Amukamara. Solidify in the coach's minds that we have confidence in you, that we can throw you out opposite Corey Webster, and we're not going to be concerned.
Well, I think it's more to prove to the coaches he deserves that confidence. He hasn't really, I don't think, shown consistently in game opportunities that he's can be a guy you can leave out there on an island and cover somebody. I think he has to not only prove it to the coaches, I think he needs to prove it to himself a lot, too. I think one thing Prince lacks a little bit right now is confidence. And it's not anything that's wrong with his personality, the type of guy that he is. But in the NFL, you only gain confidence by doing it. You can't manufacture it. And he hasn't really had the opportunity last year with Aaron Ross and Corey Webster, the foot injury, to earn that sort of confidence on the NFL football field during game situations. 201-939-4513. Paul in Belleville? Is that where you are? Paul, what's going on, Paul?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you? Good morning.
Morning. Hey, my question is, you know, I heard you guys talking about the, opposite Corey Webster. I mean, what's the update on Terrell Thomas? And do you feel that the left tackle is still the weak link to this new Giants team this year?
Well, I think Terrell Thomas is slowly making his way back. I don't think you'll see him in September. That's just my opinion. I think they'll take it very slow here, especially if Prince proves he can handle that job in the meantime. I would not hold my breath on Terrell Thomas. They already had one setback when, frankly, they didn't rush him back the first time. They thought he was ready to go back in June for OTAs, and he still had that setback in training camp. So I think they're going to take their time with him, try to get him healthy. He's still a long-term potential answer at that cornerback position. No reason to rush him back. As for the left tackle, I think if you do have a thing on that offensive line you worry about, Lance, it's got to be that left tackle spot.
But Will Beattie's got to prove he can stay healthy. You know, he's got that nerve back issue that they're trying to get underneath
sciatica.
Him and get out of the way so that he can step back on the field. And every time Tom Coughlin addresses things about Will Beattie, you can tell he doesn't sound very confident.
And in the NFC East, against Brian Arakpo, against Trent Cole, against DeMarcus, DeMarcus Ware.
DeMarcus Ware. You're right. You test it every week.
Well, I got DeMarcus Ware and DeMarco Murray. I got him. I got a little confusion there for a second.
DeMarco Murray.
You're dealing with some of the best defensive ends in the league on a weekly basis.
Yeah. You know, David Deal has experience playing on both sides. Sean Locklear has experience. But the Giants coaching staff doesn't seem like they want to play musical chairs again, John, and I don't blame them.
I think you'll eventually see if Will Beatty is going to be out for a long period of time. In my opinion, and I don't know anything, folks, this is simply my opinion and my conjecture, I believe you will see David Deal back over at left tackle.
He's proven
that on a Super Bowl team, he can start at left tackle. Sean Locklear hasn't even been a starter in this league for a couple of years, and you're going to put him over on the left side when he has more experience at right tackle for one, and it's a much more difficult position to play. You're protecting Eli Manning's blind side. You want your best lineman in that position. I think that's David Deal. And that's nothing against Sean Locklear. Deal's just better.
I agree with that standpoint in terms of you want your best lineman on the blind side, but I'm just saying, you know, you just had Deal gaining chemistry with Snee on the right side. You know, they've been working a couple of months together, and now all of a sudden, if Beatty's not ready to go week one, you're going to move the guy to the left and now
That's fair.
Locklear back to right. You know, and Locklear even talked about this because the media was pressing him. How different is it with respect to the hand motions when you play left versus right? And he says once you get a couple of reps under your belt, it's natural. And that may be true. I just think you don't want to tinker with that out of the blue all of a sudden when you're about to enter your week one matchup with the Cowboys. If anything, I would see how Locklear performs if Beatty can't go week one, then reevaluate, determine whether you want to tweak the offensive line.
I think that's fair, but at what price? You know what I mean? You know, you say you don't tweak it if something goes wrong. You know, something goes wrong could be Eli Manning breaking a rib as he gets pounded by DeMarcus Ware on opening night. Because Sean Locklear, frankly, hasn't played left tackle a whole lot in the NFL the last couple of years, and DeMarcus Ware is a tough block for anybody.
Let's see how he performs Friday against the Bears.
That's all you can do.
You don't know how much he's going to play in the last game, but you know what? If Beatty's still out, I would say maybe throw out the starting offensive line just maybe for one series or two just to give them more continuity.
All right, let's go to the Giants message boards at boards.giants.com. So far, there are reports about how talented Reuben Randall is. Will he see more opportunities/passes in upcoming games with Eli at quarterback? I think the answer is probably yes. I think you'll see him mix into that third wide receiver spot a little bit more with Hickson being the number two still. But I think the Giants want to see a little bit more of Randall in terms of they understand he's a big play guy. They want to see how well he understands the offense and how well he can get into a rhythm and get in sync with Eli. My guess, you'll see him at that first team a pretty decent amount on Friday night against Chicago.
And some of the passes that he's made actually have been from David Carr. The catches, I should say, were from David Carr. Not that that means that Eli Manning won't have chemistry with him. Another thing to keep in mind with respect to young receivers, blocking, just like running backs. In this Giants system, they want the receivers to be able to block down the field. That's why Plexico Burris, guys like Steve Smith, they were known not just for their ability to haul in the passes from the quarterback, but also give the running backs more room down the field. And I think that's something that Randall is going to have to improve on as he continues to develop in his career.
And Coach mentioned that to us last week in one of our production meetings. He was talking to the radio team and the TV team about Isaiah Stanback and how he wanted him to become a much better blocker considering his size and physicality. And he threw Ben Randall into that mix as well. When you're that big, you got to be able to move those DBs and create room for a guy like David Wilson. If he gets outside, a good block from a wide receiver could mean a 50, 60-yard run.
And I think if you play special teams as well as receiver, that helps. And that could maybe be true for any other position.
Helps everybody.
In special teams, you're primarily blocking, and you have a strict assignment that you want to then translate to an offense or defensive player, depending on their respective assignments on that side.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Questions also coming in on Twitter at hashtag Giants chat, your Giants message boards on Giants.com. Big Blue Interactive, we take your questions in any number of ways on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Andrew Mark, right here on Giants.com. Want to go to one more question from BigBlueInteractive.com message boards. Lance, how many rookie free agents look like they'll make the team as opposed to winding up on the practice squad? Let's limit that to 2012 rookie free agents. And the guys I would think about, I'll consider Will Hill a rookie free agent since he didn't play in the league last year. I know technically he's a first-year player, but I don't. Whatever. I'll consider Will Hill into that mix. I think right now, unless something strange happens, he'll probably be on the active roster. And I think it's going to be pretty tough for the other guys around this team to sneak in. I'm not sure who else can do it. I mean, Joe Martinick, I see him more as a practice squad type of guy. Unless David Douglas or Dan DePalma or Brandon Collins have a monster preseason game on Friday night, which they could. It's a possibility. I think one of those three guys probably has the next best chance in terms of rookie free agents, in terms of making it onto this active roster.
Especially with that third receiver job still up for grabs. I'm not saying that they're going to grab it,
right,
but you may want to keep some extra depth if you're not sold on the guys that you thought would be able to claim the job. But I would agree. I think Will Hill probably heads that list when it comes to the rookie free agents, guys that at least have made an impact in the preseason thus far. Coach Tom Coughlin has talked very highly of Will Hill. He's motivated. And remember, Sash is not going to be able to play early on in the season, so you need some depth at that safety spot to help guys like Kenny Phillips and Antrell Roll, just in case somebody, God forbid, gets hurt. And Will Hill is certainly a guy that they'll definitely turn to, given his, you know, really his momentum and also I think his athleticism that he's shown in the last few games. He's really stood out. And that's the type of guys that you want to see perform. The Dwayne Hendricks, the Will Hills of the world. That's how you make a team. You stand out in the preseason and you stand out in practice. And those two guys across the board with respect to the coaching staff, they have raved about those two players more so than even the everyday starters that we're so used to hearing season in and season out.
I got to tell you, Adewale Ojomo's another guy. If he is in the monster preseason game, maybe they'll sneak him onto the practice squad. I don't think he would be an active roster type of guy.
Too much depth at that position.
Exactly. Exactly. I mentioned Martinick. He maybe has a chance. And you know, Jake Musau is another guy that I think the Giants coaching staff really likes. He'll have a chance to sneak onto the practice squad at middle linebacker. He's shown them stuff over the course of the preseason. And really the tight end position, I think you might see a young guy at the end of the roster, maybe not a rookie free agent, but a younger guy with not a ton of experience, be that third or fourth tight end that might not be active on game days, but maybe perhaps can make the active roster after Bennett and Pasco.
And the tight end position is something that we talked to death last season, given all the injuries. And Martellus Bennett, you know, has made a couple of decent grabs in the first couple of preseason games. He's been a vocal guy. He's got a bubbly personality at times.
Oh, he is vocal.
Yes.
He likes to talk.
Oh, yeah. Well, can you blame the guy? He's played behind Jason Witt in the last couple of seasons. It's his opportunity to shine now.
You know what, though? Everyone keeps saying that. The Cowboys ran plenty of two tight end sets with him and Witten down there. They ran that an awful lot. I'm not saying that he, you know, was playing 85 plays a game like Jason Witten was. He certainly wasn't. And he wasn't playing, how will you figure, 40 snaps a game? 35, 30, something like that?
But you also have to remember, even if he was on the field, was Romo looking to him?
That's true. And a lot of times, that's a good point. They did utilize him as a blocker a lot more, letting Witten run out in pass patterns. You are 100% right about that. And for some reason, it just always seemed like Bennett and Romo just couldn't get on the same page. There wasn't a good chemistry. They couldn't get in sync with each other. A lot of times you'd see passes just behind them, a little bit over his head. They just really didn't seem to be able to form that bond. And Martellus Bennett talked about it earlier in camp. Him and Eli talk a lot off the field. He likes the fact that the Giants offense has a lot of, you know, adjust based on what the defense shows you. You kind of have to adjust your pattern midstream. And he really said that him and Eli are building a pretty good chemistry, so maybe things can turn around for Martellus in his career here.
He likes the feedback that he gets from Eli Manning. And the other thing to keep in mind for Martellus Bennett, he is going to get an opportunity to catch the football, but remember, priority number one when it comes to Giants tight ends, you block first, you catch second.
And as long as he can keep his leverage good, and a coach has talked to us about this the other day, that as a tall player, he has a tendency to get high in his blocking. We saw that with Kevin Boston here when he was here as well. As long as he keeps his leverage and keeps low, he can be a very, very effective blocker and almost having like a second tackle out there on the field.
You know, some defensive ends would have trouble running over Martellus Bennett given his size. I mean, he's got plenty of strength. Remember, he showed up to camp. He was what, like 290?
Yeah, 290.
And he finally slimmed down to about 265.
Yeah, it was funny. Somebody in the media, I forget who it was, it might have been Tom Rock, tweeted this the other day. Martellus, while practice was going on, he ran by the reporter and said, "What, you guys report to talk about 291, you don't talk about 268, huh?" And I guess that means he's dropped from 291 to 268. He does look a lot faster now than he did earlier in the offseason. Let's go to Brian in Lyndhurst. Brian, you're on Big Blue Kickoff Live with John Schmuck and Lance Metal. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? I wanted to comment on, you know, every year we looked down when we get down to that 53-man roster. you know, there's always a couple surprising names, some starters, guys that, you know, we like or whatever. Who do you think could be those surprise guys that we see cut this year?
All right, again, and I'll just make the point that this is pure conjecture on my point. If I was to make some educated guesses, I throw out a few names for you. I think Ramsey's Barden potentially could be one.
I agree.
Darrell Scott could potentially be one in that situation. Let me think. Who else do I think they could
I don't think they're going to cut ties with a linebacker. I think they like the depth there, especially with the contributions they get on special
teams. Though, considering the depth there, and you're right, they like them all special teams players, they might have to make a tough choice between Greg Jones and Paysinger at the end of that linebacker bench. So I think that could be a potential choice there, and I think it's close between those two guys. Both contribute on special teams, and both can play linebacker as well.
And then with respect to the defensive ends, if anything, they're probably going to cut some of the undrafted picks as opposed to some of the big names. I mean, they're going to keep – I would assume they'll keep Adrian Tracy. It's troubling that he hasn't been healthy, but I would assume if they can maybe get him on the field, get a couple of practices under his belt, they like the upside of Tracy. I would be surprised if they got rid of him.
And they like Will Hill, so, I mean, with the suspension, is there a chance maybe that Tyler Sash is let go? Maybe. I don't think so. But with the if there wasn't the suspension, I'd say there's no chance. With the suspension, I don't know. Maybe there's an outside shot. But, again, I'm really just throwing out possibilities. If you ask me, I think all those guys are probably on the team. The caller asked for guys that possibly might not make it. And those are names that I'll throw out there. But I really don't know for sure.
And I want to throw one position out there, which we talked about earlier. Maybe you want to shed some light on this. Coe or Molden, any chance that maybe one of them, or they like the depth given the youth at some of the corner
slots? I think Coe's got to get healthy. I think there's a chance Molden doesn't make it. Sure, I think he's in a dogfight with some young DBs, with Justin Tryons, even Brandon Bing, who's now kind of has an injury issue, but they're dealing with that a little bit. I think, you know, Stevie Brown, Chris Horton, two veteran safeties, but would those guys really be considered surprises? They're veterans, but I don't think those guys would necessarily be considered surprises, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, and Darrell Scott, we mentioned that, you know, he may be on the bubble right now. Special teams could be another opportunity for him to make a statement. We talk about him trying to make niche in the running game, but how about, you know, if he gets an opportunity to return, make a statement there, because that's another place that you could solidify.
The Giants are trying to figure out what they want to do on punt and kicks as well, so that's certainly something the Giants could have a chance to maybe find some room for Darrell Scott if he can return kicks. Lance, always fun. Appreciate it.
Look forward to the sponsorships riding us all season here.
Okay, so I'm thinking next week, I think we should probably be good to go. What do you think, Monday and Friday? Are you okay with that?
I'm absolutely fine with that.
I think that's the plan right now, okay?
That works.
Clear your calendar.
We'll bookend the week.
And, of course, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino will be doing shows as well. And Anita and I will be on tomorrow morning previewing Jets and Bears, so that should be a lot of fun. Maybe you can call in for a few minutes. Your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are open on that. I have flexibility if you need to rely on me chiming in and
you're not
going to
get paid for
salvage
it, though.
The show.
You're not
going
to get paid for it.
Well, that may have to be discussed.
Salvage
back
the
doors.
Show. I just realized that backhanded slap there. What was that all
I'm
about?
I'm glad you're paying attention.
Yeah, I try not to pay attention to you as much as possible. Can you blame me?
I don't blame you.
And you and Anita haven't hosted a show together since what, January? And you guys were yelling at each other
about
your fantasy football
well,
lineups.
I can imagine what's going to happen this season now. Well, it's more of Melroy and Anita, how those two will gel and mesh. That will be interesting.
Well, that's true.
If they pick up where they left off.
Yeah, because there was some animosity based off that like little fantasy competition you had last year.
Things
there really
got
was.
Testy.
Well, I mean, you finished in dead last, right? Is that correct?
No, regular season I won.
Oh,
then
you won the regular
we had
season.
A postseason.
I thought Melroy won the regular season.
If memory serves me correct, I believe I was finishing on top.
Really?
We
okay,
have
no,
to
you
go
could
back
be right.
to the archives, but I believe at least I tied if didn't win outright.
Here's your assignment for the weekend now.
We need to name a play here?
No, not at all.
We're not getting into that yet.
We need to come up with a better system to do this fantasy competition so that it doesn't take up like 15 minutes of each show.
I agree.
We need to streamline this thing a little bit. I'll get involved with this year. You know, I'll put my name in the mix. Maybe we can get the Tino to do it, but we have to streamline this thing so that it doesn't take up like 20 minutes of a show.
I think we should draft off-air, put the results online, let the fans vote through that, and then maybe have a brief discussion, cap it at about 4 to 5 minutes
on
the air.
So you still want to do the pick different teams every week?
But I don't think the draft needs to be aired.
I think it's a little long.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think we can work with that.
We can work it in 4 or 5 minutes, recap the results perhaps, have a small segment. Outside of that, I don't think we need to have a full show dedicated to a draft.
Does it even need to have to be a draft, though? Maybe you just tell each person, come in each week, have one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers. That's your team for the week. And if you double up with people, it's okay. No roster is going to be exactly the same, I wouldn't think.
So you're going to say that it's okay if we choose the same position?
Yeah,
player?
I'm thinking that might be true. It gives people the freedom to pick whatever player they want, and you just want to try to get the most fantasy points in any given week.
Well, as long as we have some restricted players like we did last season.
Oh, so you want to have some restricted players.
I think that serves well, especially, you know, okay. If you're going to pick Aaron Rodgers every week or Eli Manning every week.
But I think that would be foolish based on matchups. You're going to want to, you know, mix and match a little bit.
Yeah, but some of those guys.
You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Dolphins 1 week might not be a bad selection.
Good luck winning that week. More power to you.
Hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick had some monster weeks last week, Lance Meadow.
Are you hinting something in
our upcoming fantasy draft?
No, but I think
I do think the Bills are going to be pretty good this year.
Oh, I agree.
I think they should be about 8-8, 9-7.
I think they could even be maybe a 10-win team.
Fred Jackson making his triumphant return off of his fractured leg.
And the defense has improved.
Yeah,
they added Mario Williams.
Offensive line should be a little bit better. They revamped that in the offseason a bit. I think the Bills could be pretty good.
Let's put it this way. They're better than the Jets. They're better than the Dolphins. They don't necessarily have to knock off the Patriots. They just need to be in the conversation of a wild card.
And then here's the other thing we could do with the fantasy thing, by the way. Rather than just doing win individual weeks, we can tally the total points over the course of the season. So we could have a team that comes in first via record and then have another team that might come in first based on total points. So you can almost have like a dual phase of the competition.
Is there going to be a pot here of money too?
This is for entertainment purposes only. There is no cash involved at all. This is only for fun, just so we can make fun of each other. Mostly, you know, see if Melroy and Anita can choke each other at some point during the season
and go at it. We'll sit back and enjoy the show.
That's exactly what it's about.
That's what I love about this.
And hopefully the fans will enjoy the show, because that's really who it's about in the end.
Yeah.
But we probably just lost about 20 listeners in the last 5 minutes.
That's what happens when you talk fantasy. And believe it or not, we spent that much time and Melroy was not even
The only guy left listening is your dad now. That's it.
Apparently.
Yeah. All right, Lance, we appreciate it. We'll see you on Monday, all right?
All right, sounds good.
For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmoke. That's all the time we have left for Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Nina and I are on tomorrow, and of course, make sure you check out our coverage of the Giants and the Bears on Friday. Now, I'm used to the Jets being the third preseason game. It keeps throwing me for a loop here. And pregame show starts at 7:05 on WCBS 101.1 FM. Anita Marks and Jeff Fiegels. You'll hear Bob Papa interview head coach Tom Coughlin. I'll interview Giants linebacker Keith Rivers. And then, of course, the postgame after the game as well. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on Giants.com.
Have a good one.